ask you a question this morning. Are you a fan of Jesus or are you a disciple of Jesus?
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincannon Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
I was a slave in a foreign land, so very far from the Father's loving hand. He rescued me. He brought me out, paid
Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Then the apostle said to the Lord, "Give us more faith." The Lord said, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Pull yourself up by the roots and plant yourself in the sea,' and it would obey you. Suppose someone has a servant who is plowing fields or watching sheep. Does he tell his servant when he comes from the field, 'Have something to eat'? No, instead he tells his servant, 'Get dinner ready for me. After you serve me my dinner, you can eat yours.' He doesn't thank the servant for following orders. That's the way it is with you. When you've done everything you're ordered to do, say, 'We're worthless servants. We've only done our duty.'"
Turn to Paul's writing in 2 Timothy, chapter 1, beginning with verses 1 through 14. We remember that Timothy was almost a son of Paul. He watched him, nurtured him, encouraged him, and mentored him, and thought of him nearly as his own son. And so he writes to him from prison and encourages him in the scripture. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. For I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather gave us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in the suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purposes and grace. This grace was given to us in Jesus Christ before the ages began, but has now been revealed through the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For this gospel, I was appointed as a herald and as an apostle and as a teacher. And for this reason, I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust, and I am sure that he is able to guard until that day what I have entrusted to him. Hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Jesus Christ. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you with the help of the Holy Spirit living within us. And this is the word of God. Amen. Well, Paul was nearly a son, but more importantly, he was a mentee. He was a student. He was a learner under Paul. And he'd been taken under Paul's wing, and so Paul is in prison suffering because he has preached the gospel, and people haven't liked what he had to say, and so they've imprisoned him because they haven't liked his teaching and his training, and so they found reason to imprison him. And so now he finds himself suffering for the cause of Christ, but he's not embarrassed, he's not ashamed. He's simply saying to Timothy, keep going and doing what you're doing, even though you may be tested and you may be tried at times, because that may be what's required of you in order to follow the disciple of Jesus Christ. And so Paul had spent a tremendous amount of time doing that nurturing of Timothy into a leader of the church. Paul saw great gifts in him. He had evidently known his mother and his grandmother Eunice and Lois, and knew that they had had a huge part in making and creating him into what he was, and what Paul saw, that he witnessed that. And so Paul doesn't want Timothy to lose that faith. He doesn't want him to get down on himself and get discouraged. We don't ever get discouraged, do we? No. be honest with yourself. We all do it one time or another. And when we get discouraged, sometimes it gets difficult to do the keeping on, getting on, and doing what we need to do. But Paul doesn't want Timothy to become cowardly. He doesn't want him to shrink back from his work. He wants him rather to keep pushing forward, to keep moving on, and doing that which he already knows and what he's learned. And what he'd learned from his mother and his grandmother and had seen lived out in them. And remember how he himself had made a decision to follow God and follow Jesus for himself. Well, how does that happen for us? Remember last week I encouraged you to think about your own story, knowing your own story. How did you come to faith? Who are the Loises? Who are the Eunices who have helped fan into faith your experience, your tradition? And don't forget those people because they're a large part of who you are. You know, when we celebrate the lives of people who passed before us, we are in part who we are because of who they were. And so we stand on their shoulders, if you will, in becoming who we are becoming or and will become. And so we don't want to forget the lessons that they have taught us and keep those lessons ever before us. But we still need to know our own story, own our own story, and live that story out into the world. And so we have to do that by, first of all, not shrinking back from being cowardly, not being afraid. Certainly when we're challenged and we're pushed to the test, we sometimes think, well, I'll back off just because I'm afraid or I'm not sure that's the right thing to do, or somebody might make fun of me or somebody might not like it or whatever. And so we back up and we go the other way or we try to ignore it. And we really ought to just keep pushing on, pushing on. And I encourage you to do some of those same things. When you have that opportunity to do it, make a blessing in somebody's life to do it. Because it may be the thing that they need to have that will help them draw close to God. Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you a fan of Jesus or are you a disciple of Jesus? And it's real easy to be a fan. We can cheer and jump up and down and shout and do all kinds of things because we're a fan of the Colts or we're a fan of the Chicago Cubs or we're a fan of the Chicago Bears or whatever it happens to be, in season or out. We're a fan of those. It's easy. Doesn't require much of us, does it? But when I say to you, are you a fan of Jesus Christ? That's when the rubber begins to really meet the road. Because it's more than just being a fan. Jesus asks us to grow and become more than just somebody who says, yeah, Jesus is a good thing. Isn't it wonderful? And it's easy to come to church and sing the songs and offer a prayer and then go out on Sunday afternoon or Monday morning and go back to the regular old, same old, same old, and do whatever we want to do. But you see, Jesus asks us to be a Christian 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. That's more difficult because we're faced with challenges that require us to stop and think about what would Jesus do in that situation? What would Jesus want us to do in that situation? Being a disciple requires discipline. It requires work to increase our relationship, and we have to work on that relationship to be a Christian. It's not as simple as just saying, yeah, I love Jesus and isn't it wonderful and that's the end of it. To be a disciple of Jesus Christ is a constant, ongoing, day-to-day experience, opportunity to increase our relationship with Jesus. We've been talking a lot about our mission and vision. I get those two words mixed up. As I got to thinking about our vision, we really can almost turn that around on ourselves. It says, a growing church of growing Christians sharing Jesus Christ with Van Buren in the world. But if we flip it around the other way, it says, sharing Jesus Christ with Van Buren in the world, we have to be a growing church of growing Christians. It looks a little different, doesn't it? puts a little more teeth into it when we flip it around the other way. In order for us to be a growing church, we have to be growing ourselves. We have to be growing ourselves in order to then be able to go out and share the good news with the world and with Van Buren. So I want to ask you a question. Are we a church that wants to be a growing church of growing Christians that's just simply growing numerically and we're just here to keep on being and doing what we've always been? Or do we want to be a church of growing Christians where the numbers are important, but more importantly, the numbers represent people who are really growing in their faith, and we're holding one another accountable for our journey individually as well as what we're doing with others, so that we are truly growing and that people see evidence of that growth, and then they say, what is going on over on the corner of Vine and 2nd Street? I think there's something happening there, and I want to be part of that. But it may not be just about having a whole bunch of people gather together and us doing exciting things. What are we doing individually about our relationship with Christ? And that's a question you have to wrestle with. Do we want to be a growing church of just numbers, people that look like numbers, or do we want to be a group of people that are really growing, that out of that growth comes a number that is also growing spiritually as we share Jesus Christ with the world and Van Buren? Think about that for a little bit. So what does that look like if that latter part is true? Well, we have to become intentional at putting into place a way in which we truly are becoming disciples, growing Christians that will last over the long haul, and that we're continually fanning the flame, as Paul says, of growing and keeping our spirit and our energy up as we go through even the difficult times, of becoming close in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Christians that will continue to have the faith of Lois and Eunice and Timothy and Paul into the next generation, and that our faith, our discipleship, our relationship in Christ will fan the flame in other people. They'll look back and say, I remember this one, that one, another one who lived out the gospel, who lived out what it was to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And they had evidence of that by what they watched us do. And that will endure over time. And will help us to get through the times of suffering and challenge. What we saw happen this week raises lots of questions. There were 4 people in Grant County who died of heroin overdoses. There were 4 people in Muncie in the same time frame that died of heroin overdoses. And looking back at what I've also learned about those overdoses is that now heroin is being laced with something called cadafentanil, which is kind of a form of fentanyl, which is a high-dose painkiller. And they're injecting elephant toxin into heroin. So that means that you're not getting pure heroin when you take heroin. You're getting a whole lot more. And it doesn't take a whole lot of catafan in addition to heroin to do a real number on you. So there are lots of families that are dealing with the loss of loved ones who are involved with drug and alcohol and narcotic use. And how do we as a community of faith be hope to those folks? How do we share with them in the midst of their suffering, in the midst of their difficulty, how to move forward? And that can be true for us. In the midst of our struggling, in the midst of our difficulties, how do we live before others a growing and living faith? So I want to ask you a question. I want to challenge you. But I want you to think about something. What have you read in Scripture recently that has inspired you or touched you at some level? Now, some of you are sitting there going, oh dear, Pastor, you got me there because I haven't been reading. Don't worry about that. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to challenge you that together, Over the next 16 days, we're going to start together as a congregation. We're going to start by reading the book of Mark. We're going to read a chapter, and it'll take us 16 days to read the book of Mark. It's the shortest of the four gospels. It reads pretty quick, but I want us to read that together. And I'm going to blog with you this week and the next couple of weeks as we read it, and I'm going to share with you my reflection. But I want to challenge you to begin there. Let's start this journey in discipleship at that place. And one of the things I want to ask you to do as you read that book is look at, make a list, draw a line on the page and write the things that Jesus says, this is what you should believe. And then on the other side of the page, what does Jesus say we're supposed to do? What does Jesus say we're supposed to believe? And then what are we supposed to do? And I have a feeling we're going to find that the doing part may have a little more activity than the believing part. That doesn't mean we're not supposed to believe. I'm not saying that at all. But look at the difference. And you're going to say, how in the world do you expect me to do that? I just want you to try. I want you to try to challenge yourself, to push yourself, to have a start there. And I'm going to tell you already that when we have a meeting from now, and I'm going to ask you that question when we start. What have you read in Scripture this week? And that's true for me. Besides the reading that I do for sermon prep, besides the reading that I do to get ready for Not Alone Alone, the reading that I do for this, that, and half a dozen others, what am I reading just for? Why? What is God saying to me in that reading? It begins to spark a chord. It begins to spark something in us. Then I want to ask you another question. Where have you seen Jesus Christ at work in the world? And where have you been his hands and feet? And that may be another. So the challenge there is to begin watching. The word for what I'm saying to us is called accountability. Being accountable for our faith. Being accountable for who we are as disciples. So I want to challenge you this week again. Will you join me in beginning to read the book of Mark? Will you begin praying for someone that God would like for you to begin mentoring? Because I believe that bringing folks into church is about building relationships. Before we can begin to share with them the gospel, we have to build a relationship. And if we begin the process of being about building relationships with people, and that gets translated into people saying, I don't know what this is about, but I think you have something that I want. And that begins a dialogue and a conversation. I suspect what we may find is that we will have opportunities to then invite people to join us, invite people to grow in their faith and grow in their Christian relationship. And that we will begin to grow. And it won't be about all the numbers. Because we'll have the numbers that will also represent a growing and a lasting and enduring Christianity, a faith, a discipleship that will grow in them. And that will trickle up or down and grow in somebody else. And that will grow in somebody else. And it will be about keeping the message of Christ before other people and fanning into flame what God asks us to do. So read the scripture, begin praying. Who would God have you to begin to mentor and walk beside? And if we begin to do those things, we'll become a growing church of growing disciples that will share the gospel with Van Buren and the world. And my prayer is that you'll join me in that, and that as we do that, we'll make disciples for Jesus Christ that will no doubt transform the world in which we live and the world around us. Amen. from the west. We've come from the east. We've come from the north. And we've come from the south. Now let us go back out into the world and be his disciples. Be his people who share the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of all the church throughout the world as we share together his work in the world, one another together. Amen. And go in peace.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org.
Elect from every nation, yet one for all the earth. Her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name.
You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church, underwritten by Finn Cannon Ford of Hartford City.